Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Chapter 5, verses 8 through 17. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But in all things that are exposed under, made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give light to you. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine. If we can, let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this congregation having gathered together to worship in your name. Help us to remember those who are less fortunate than we are. Please be with Pastor Joseph and Ruth as they go on their journey, that it will be a challenge, but it's also an opportunity of spreading the word of Christ. Help protect them and bring them back to this congregation. Thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen. Amen.
One of the reasons I did not get too far in athletics was because I lacked some of the requirements. And I'm not going to name them all. But if anyone wants to become an athlete must look at the requirements and consider them very carefully if she or he wants to be successful. I think what I'm underlining here is the word successful, because we have many who participate in athletics. I have my grandchildren who participate. And then you have those who make up their minds and say, I'm going to go for the Olympics. They are determined. They make up their minds and they say, whatever it takes, I'll be there. There are at least three important things that are required. You may sort of think of them and say, well, okay, yeah, I thought of that. First is commitment. Commitment. Second, discipline. Third, change of way of life. Now, if you're not willing to do one of them, then you're not going to be successful as an athlete. These requirements also apply for a soldier, a politician, in marriage, and for a Christian. First, commitment. The person who is half committed to a sport or a vocation cannot be successful. He is wasting his time. Even though he may be having some fun, he still is wasting his time or her time. When there is no commitment in marriage, that union will not succeed and will become a dysfunctional relationship and fail. I just came back from a wedding in Toronto. And before that, there were other weddings. And we have few, at least two, who got married recently. And in every wedding ceremony, there is the understanding. There is the underlying statement that, or the statement that is emphasized is commitment. And I believe that today's problems are lack of commitment, because there is no total commitment. Conditional commitment is always there, but not full commitment. It takes a total commitment to God and His Son, Jesus, for a person to become a Christian, not a conditional or part-time commitment. More and more, you hear preachers and programs and all kinds of literature promoting a church, a doctrine, a preacher, a teacher who says all it takes is to come to the front or to come on your knees or wherever you are to say, I believe in Jesus, I believe Jesus, you died for us, and I am a Christian. And that's it. And then they continue their life the way it is. But the Bible says God demands total commitment. And I've used this example before, recently. It's like I'm walking with, I've been married for a while, and I'm walking with my wife, and I see a bar or a strip joint or something, and I tell my wife, just wait a few minutes, give me half an hour, okay, an hour, I'll be back. And I go there and I do whatever I want to do, and I come back and we again continue our life, and she asks no questions and we are happy. That's not possible. It may be possible with some people, but not with God. You cannot do that with God. You made a commitment, you committed your life, your body, your soul, everything to God. Now, does that mean you are dead now? Yes, you are dead when it comes to sins, but you're not dead. Now you are more alive. My sister-in-law was singing and she said, I'm free. And I thought, what are we free from? Well, we are free from being bound to sin. We are free from being bound to religion. We are free from being bound to tradition. We are free from being bound to some preacher, some teacher. We are free. Now we can worship God and we feel His presence in our life. And you know what? It is the best possible feeling for a human being who has connected with God now, and he knows that even if his wife or husband or children don't understand him or her, God understands. So a commitment is to be committed. Now, when we got married here, right there, 48 years ago, and the pastor asked me to repeat these words, for better or worse. I said, sure, for better or worse. She looked beautiful. I was young. Everything worked well. Okay, why not? And then, Sheldon, we're getting older. I'm getting older. And then things didn't really function as well. I mean, relationship. But you know what? Every time I'm thinking of my commitment to God, to my parents, to her, and to everyone who was here, a commitment that should be honored. Well, that's how it is with God. When you make a commitment, you make that commitment to God, and all the angels are watching, and everyone who hears you, even if they don't agree with you, they know you made a commitment. You became a Christian now. So it does take commitment. Second is discipline. A disciplined life will be a successful life. An undisciplined person will not succeed in life and usually will blame others for his or her plight. things happen. We blame the society. We blame the government, terrible government. We blame the police. We blame the church. We blame our wife. We blame our husband. We blame our children. We blame our parents. We blame everyone. We forget to look to ourselves. A disciplined life is a total committed, disciplined life. An undisciplined Christian will not be able to rest in God, but will wander in the wilderness of religion and doctrines. This is very important. An undisciplined Christian will wander in the wilderness of religion and doctrines and churches and music and everything else out there, searching to find that wonderful experience. And often they are so confused that they forget what are they searching for. That's why our tract the title is "What Are You Searching For?" And the question could apply to even Christians. Now, what are you searching for when you tune the radio or TV, or you go from church to church, or when you talk to one person and then to the other person, and then you take that doctrine and try to compare it with the doctrine of the other? Or, and I'm not saying doctrine is not important. I believe the doctrines of the Bible are the most important doctrines we should follow. But I'm saying the doctrines of the Bible, not the doctrines of Temple Baptist Church, not the doctrines of the Catholic Church, not the doctrines of the Protestant Church, not the doctrines of the Greek Orthodox or Armenian or Russian churches, but the doctrines of the Bible, what the Bible teaches. And that is discipline. Third, and before I go to the third, let me just say that what discipline discipline applies to our way of life. Where we go, where we don't go, must not go. When we go to church, when we don't go, should we go to the Bible study or we shouldn't? And if we are going, if we committed to go to church every Sunday morning, no matter what happens except of emergencies, we know. And people, you know what? My wife and I started coming to this church about 50 years ago. At least been coming 51 years. And I don't remember any Sunday that I missed church unless I was traveling or I was sick. My wife, then we did the same thing. And our children never asked, should we go to church? Because they knew that every Sunday morning, our routine, if it is a routine, or our desire, is to go to church. And then Bible study. But today, Christians pick and choose what pleases them, what makes them good, what makes them feel high, what makes them... And so life becomes an undisciplined life. The person who is not willing to change his or her way of life, to let go. And I said this is the third item, I'm sorry, is change of way of life. First was commitment, second discipline, and the third, change way of life. The person who is not willing to change his or her way of life, to let go and exchange some things that have to go so that other new, better things can replace them, is like a car stuck in ice or sand, spinning its wheels for nothing. Now in Montreal, we know exactly what that means. Stella, have you ever been stuck in the snow? Like Jacques? I mean, you get stuck in ice, and you spin your wheels, and you spin, and everybody knows you are trying to get out of it, and the engine is working, you are working, and yet you're going nowhere. That's what it is if you try to change your life. You cannot change your life alone. Only God can. The Christian who has one foot in the Word of God and the other foot in the world is like the car stuck in ice going nowhere. The letter L makes all the difference. Word, world. At the last, at least that is in English, Jesus describes this kind of a person this way, and I quote Revelation 3:15 and 16. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. To the believers in Ephesus, Apostle Paul writes, so I tell you this, and insist on it, and I'm underlining that, insist on it, in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Change of life. With this verse, Apostle Paul begins his appeal for a new morality, a new way of life. In the Lord, he says, means, and it means by the authority of the Lord and divine inspiration. He urges the Christian believers to put off every trace of their past life as if they were dirty clothes and put on new, clean ones. You must, and I quote, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. They were no longer Gentiles, unbelievers. They were Christians now. There should be a corresponding change in their lives. Unfortunately, or sad to say, many preach that if there is no need for someone's life to change, all you do is you watch out a little bit, be careful what you do. And if you, I've heard preachers who will justify when someone called. Once I was listening to a program, and someone called and said, Pastor, I've committed a terrible sin. God will never forgive me if I... And he said, what is it? I just cheated on my wife. Ah, he says, you're not a boy. You failed there. Ask God to forgive you, and that's fine, no problem. And I believe that kind of attitude is the enemy's attack in our lives and in the church. Paul saw the Christless world of the nations sinking deeper and deeper in sin and degradation, and names at least seven terrible things. They were aimless. You think that we are not aimless today? Look at the society. Look at the world. Look at the countries. Look at the governments. They're aimless. They just don't know where they're going. Christians, the same. Blind, ungodly, and these are Paul. Paul names these things in the church, in the lives of people and countries. Aimless, blind, ungodly, shameless, immoral, indecent, greedy. Their sin created an enormous appetite for more of the same thing. How different this way of life was from the life of Christ whom they had come to know and love. The Bible is very clear that when we come to know Christ and are born again, we must put off our old self. Old self means all that a person was before his conversion. The old lifestyle must be replaced by a new, pure way of life. Complete change in our thinking. A change from impurity to holiness. Holiness of thought and life, not the way we see things, but the way God sees us and our lives. And because believers have put off their old man and have put on the new man when they became his followers, they should demonstrate this change in their daily lives. In verses 23 and 24 we read, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. After naming some of the obvious sins, Paul says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Apostle Paul continues in chapter 5, asking the believers to be imitators of God. Verse 1 says, and learn to be holy and clean. But among you, and I quote, but among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse talking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving, for of these you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Verses 3 to 5. Some say that morals are a matter of culture in which we live, and since premarital, extramarital, and gay sex are accepted in our culture, and so religious leaders will accept and even promote this idea of freedom to please the flesh without shame or fear. And I don't know whether you need any comments on this, but I can only say one thing. At one time, sin was called sin, and was God asked us not to sin. Today, sin is considered failure or fault, say homosexuality, and all kinds of other sexual immoral acts are now accepted or at least tolerated in the church. You have homosexual pastors who are being ordained, and I know that this will be on the website, and may God touch many hearts. Believers are strongly warned to have no part in ungodly behavior. To do so is to dishonor God and the name of Christ, to destroy other lives, to ruin one's own testimony, and to bring retribution and death. In Proverbs 6:27 we read, can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can we play with sin and not be burned? The question is. Apostle Paul reminds the believers what they were before they believed in Jesus. Verse 8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light of the in the Lord. Live as children of light. Here we have the contrast between light and darkness. Those who belong to Jesus have received His light, and now they must reflect and introduce this light where there is darkness. Thomas Carlyle wrote, the Christian must be consumed with the infinite beauty of holiness and the infinite damnability of sin. Yes, there are many who claim to be Christian, who may even be leaders, who have one foot in the world and the other in the world, and may be doing things that are sinful or wrong according to the Word of God. But you are a child of light. They can. They are, but you must not. Those who live in God's light produce the fruit of moral, ethical, and holy character, but those who live in darkness do not. And please remember what God said through Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. What should we do then? Verses 10 and 11 give us the answer. Find out, and I quote, find out what pleases God and have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. What God wants is life transformation rather than moral improvement. Life transformation is not the same as improvement. What people preach often is how to improve your Christian life, how to do better. And I believe that none of us can improve much our life without God. What God wants from us is metamorphosis, the Greek word. Transformation, change, complete change. And then God will help us enjoy all the blessings. You know what the problem is? Many people who don't believe in Jesus, who have not surrendered their lives to the Lord, think that being a Christian must be the most boring thing in life. And those who have come out of sin and drug addiction and immorality and everything else, when they become Christians, they all of a sudden realize that there is a life. I'm free. I'm free from all these things that kept me down. Sad to listen to the news and see so many hockey players and successful actors, actresses and athletes are committing suicide or die. Why? Because they've tried everything available in the market. And yet, nothing gave them what they were searching for. Nothing filled that emptiness, that void. But when we turn our lives to God, He picks it up. He fixes it. And He gives us a new beginning, a new life. A life that is so meaningful that we cannot describe it. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for being so patient with each one of us. Thank you for helping us to come this far in our spiritual journey. But Lord, what we need to do is look into our lives and see whether we have a total commitment, disciplined life, and a changed life. And if we don't, Lord, we ask you this morning to help us, if not start all over again and rededicate, recommit our lives to you, to at least ask you to change us and help us walk the walk. In your blessed name I pray, Amen.